Hey there, my name is Bryce Rankins and you're listening to episode 6 of Sneaky Geek. My name is Bryce Rankins, and you're listening to Sneaky Geek. And we are back once again to finish our conversation with Brian Romero and Nick Frada.
Hey.
And real quick.
It was soulful.
Ooh, yeah. I love it.
All right. It has been a week since you heard us last, and it's been about 30 seconds since we stopped speaking.
time jump.
Time to pee yet.
We have a DeLorean, in case you're wondering.
Yes.
We filled up Mr. Coffee.
Everything is good. Mr. Fusion.
Mr. Fusion, Mr. Coffee.
Yeah.
I love my coffee.
We were last talking about the Nintendo 64. It comes up. We've already geeked out about it pretty intensely. So Nintendo has come out with the Nintendo 64. Real quick, if you decided you wanted to skip last week, Nintendo's awesome. Sega's awesome. We love them both, but Sega's died because of Donkey Kong and just not being able to keep up the way that Nintendo
did.
Well,
Sega Saturn. Pretty much killed it.
Right. Pretty bad. We get to a point where Nintendo 64 has pretty much the market.
It took it over.
PlayStation was their only competitor.
Yeah. PlayStation
was Crash.
And they were just starting
Super Mario.
Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot Racing comes after Mario Kart.
Oh, Crash Team Racing. Oh, so good.
And Crash, like, every major different thing that comes out for what's happening with Mario seems to have
a copycat.
Seems to have some sort of Crash equivalent, which is obviously what they're doing. No one's denying that. But that begins like a whole new realm. You know, we've just taken out Sega, and Sega won't resurge aside from in arcades for a long time until they finally start putting stuff, ironically, in Nintendo.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Like,
some of their stuff.
Sonic and Mario are in the same game.
Oh, they're our best friend. Mm-hmm. Sonic released on Nintendo consoles. What
and
world
by the
we
way,
live
those,
in?
Those Olympics games where they are in the same game?
They're fun.
So much fun.
Are they?
Oh,
that's awesome.
They're on the Wii.
I haven't played a good Olympic game since the 1986 Olympics for the Commodore.
Ooh, what? No, it's all about the 90. It was 98 Nagano Winter Olympics for the N64. One of the greatest Olympic video games known to man.
Oh, my gosh.
So good.
Maybe when we get to the next Olympics, we'll do an Olympics video game.
I have it. Let me bring it over. Yeah. Let's play it. It's a great multiplayer game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, okay. So let's talk about that with 64. 64, I think, is a really good demonstration, not of just like, hey, we make quality games, but we make quality games for everybody.
That you can play with your
family.
For the family. Yeah. We've got 4-player multiplayer, which isn't really happening without some sort of expansion for the PlayStation.
Yeah, no, you need... It was that stupid little... plug-in brick.
Yeah.
The extender.
Yeah.
The multi-tap.
Yeah, it was a multi-tap. Whereas the 64 just comes with it. Hey, you got a bunch of kids. My family has a bunch of kids. If it wasn't two-player, it took a lot of convincing to get my mom to get the game. Mm-hmm. So at least having a arena type thing or a side aspect of the game that could do multiplayer was enough to make sure I could still get the game.
Mm-hmm.
The PlayStation doesn't necessarily go there really right away.
No.
When you're playing the PlayStation, you flock for cinematic experiences.
Right.
You
and
flock for the Final Fantasies.
Final
the,
Fantasy
the deeper
VII.
Games, whereas that was the hardcore console.
See, that was that was more geared towards teenagers and the older.
It picked up where Genesis left off.
Yeah, and it's not just that it's geared towards teenagers, it's that it's geared towards
adults.
Any one group, which the Nintendo 64, because that's kind of Nintendo's MO, is to gear it towards
everybody.
It's we don't
general
want
audience,
to be exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the Nintendo 64. We've got the PlayStation. Both of those are going on. What is happening as far as these companies are concerned with their plans for the future at this point?
Well, Nintendo wanted to get into CD-based gaming.
There's an expansion.
There's an expansion.
That
it
you
was
passed onto.
Yes, in Japan they released it. It didn't do well, and they tried to do internet as well. Something Sega was like already thinking of, and you know that's we could talk about the Dreamcast later. But the plans for the 64 were supposed to. I mean, the lifespan was supposed to extend. They had a CD attached. Similar to the Sega CD, and that's what was going to be the next step. Obviously, it took a backseat once the failure in Japan. It didn't do too hot, and they just focused on the GameCube.
Right.
And that, of course, was the next console during the Triple War, or the war which included now Microsoft, a PC or a company focused on Windows and PC. They're like, why aren't we making a gaming system?
And that's when...
So about what year was that?
Xbox came out in 2001. Cortana. Fucking Warthogs.
The first time I remember I replayed the HD collection of Halo.
So good.
And I remember the first time I played Halo, my buddy said, "Listen, you need to understand why I love this game." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "We're going to start on one level." And he starts on the flood level.
Oh, so good.
And the flood level, in that first iteration, because the game is dark, like you can barely see anything, it is terrifying.
With the light, right?
With these things that are coming out,
you had the flashlight. I'm saying is like so dark. You had to use a
flashlight, flashlight. And the way they reanimated them, and the way they look, and the way that they work,
they're creepy.
They're terrifying. But in the HD collection, it really like you lose all that. Which is funny because the same problem happened with Silent Hill. They got to Silent Hill 2, and they said they used a flesh texture on that table, but it was so dark that you. No
flashlight. We were talking about flashlights.
No, they use a flesh texture on the table, and it was so dark that it works perfectly. They didn't have to create a new tone so they could do more with the game. But, you know, this is horror games. Are there really any scary games on the Nintendo 64?
You had Nightmare Creatures.
Nightmare Creatures on the 64?
Yeah, it was.
Shadow Man was on there, too.
Shadow Man? Which was a weird premise of a game about a voodoo guy.
Yeah, I have Shadow Man, too.
The music was pretty dope. Going back to music, N64 just was so many great just compositions.
We can do a whole episode on video game music.
Please. But yeah, Shadow Man, Resident Evil was ported. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time cinematics were introduced for the N64.
Yeah.
Like,
They weren't going to be pretty.
They translated horrible. It was just, they tried to do just a lift from the PlayStation. Yeah. It just was
god-awful. And real quick, the Nintendo 64 does not just falter because it lacks the cinematics and doesn't move toward that. The Nintendo 64 also falters because it is the worst video game controller ever to be on a mainstream console.
Come on, man. You didn't like how it felt?
I actually got really good at using it, but the Nintendo 64 controller is not... It's the one thing about that system that isn't user-friendly.
Some games, like Mario 64 with that controller, is perfect. It's like, I can't play that game with any other controller.
See, it's almost
same
like,
with Zelda, Ocarina of Time. Can't play it with any other controller.
Majora's Mask is a good good expression. Yeah. A dark game. That game is so dark.
Purgatory. We were talking about this earlier. Yeah,
I played that game in 8th grade, and I love...
Shout out to Matt Pat of Game Theories, and I got to introduce you guys to this video. Not the sub-channel, because you're aware of Game Theory, but he did a great episode of where Majora's Mask, Link's dead, and he's accepting his death, and that's what the temples...
The Mask Man is kind of his Virgil.
Yeah.
You know, giving him... And each time he kind of conquers this next aspect of going through this understanding of how
he died.
He has died.
And he's a kid.
But he's a kid who's also been an adult, which he has a certain seriousness to him, which many of the adults comment on in the game.
Oh, yeah.
They talk about, like, well, you seem to have kind of a good head on your shoulders. You know what you're doing. I mean, sometimes it's simple as, well, you got a sword and a shield. Somebody trusts you. I guess you can leave the town now.
This kid has acrobatics. Like, Link as a child is just unreal. It's like, I'm going to take on this demon entity, slay him, and I'm 10 years old. All right, fuck, marry, kill. Zelda. Impa, is it Impa?
Impa? Oh, the...
Or the Lon Lon Ranch.
Lon Lon Ranch
girl. What's her name? Oh, my God.
Lon Lon?
No.
From Majora's Mask or from...
Ocarina of Time. I forgot what her name is, but forget her. I'm talking about the Zora.
Not little Lon Lon.
Zora Princess.
Oh, Zora Princess.
Ooh, she marries you.
This game is so... Spoilers. So chauvinistic.
You have to.
We're killing Impa. She's too hardcore for me. And I can't live in the desert. I hate sand. It's coarse. It gets everywhere.
She's Gerudo. She's Gerudo.
She's because she's a Gerudo, despite her fabulous music and culture.
It's a funny story. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Oh, God.
Because I...
Why are you on this podcast right now?
I never got into
Welcome
Zelda.
To Sneaky Geek. Welcome to Sneaky Geek.
I'm Bryce Rankins, and this is my co-host, Nick Frada.
Hey,
today we're
how's
here
it going?
With our clueless special guest, Brian.
Hello.
Who's no longer a part of this podcast. No, I'm taking you off the logo.
Fine, gatekeeper. Jeez.
No!
Boom, son!
Enemy. It's a coup. I'm knocking you out.
All right.
But yeah, no, it was funny. No. So growing up, I never really got into the Zelda games because I wasn't super into the RPG
status. Are you alive? Do you live?
And then, well, here's the thing, too. Like, I'd always go to a friend's house, and that's all he wanted to play. But it's a one-player game, so I'm going to sit there and watch, and I got so bored. Mm. And I think that was part of it.
I will say.
But when the 64 came out and Ocarina of Time, I remember going to my cousin's house, and it was so pretty.
Oh,
and the music was so cool.
The little floating
and
thing.
I could sit there and watch it, and I was okay with
the
it.
The cinematics were not to par as PlayStation, the Nintendo 64s, but right. That game itself was cinematic
yeah.
as hell.
Oh, yeah.
The music to this day, when I die, I want Zelda's Lullaby at my mm-hmm. funeral. Like, I want, it's so gorgeous.
Did you go to the Zelda Symphony when it came through town first time?
No, it came out yesterday, the 30th it played. We missed out, man.
Oh my God, they did it again?
I did go to Kingdom Hearts though, this past summer.
Okay, I was going to. Yeah. My roommate and I were freaking out about it. Shout out to Megan, who was like losing her mind that we couldn't find a way into the Kingdom Hearts
concert. It was fantastic. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic.
Man. But like this music is so good, and we're not going to talk about music too much, but this music in this game is so iconic, and Koji Kondo has done so much over the years for all of these games.
He's an absolute genius.
That there's full symphony orchestras playing it, and people are filling the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to get...
selling it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Quick shout out, because the equivalent composer on Sega, and Yuzo Koshiro, fantastic. Streets of Rage soundtrack, Shinobi.
Shinobi. There's a Sega. There is a Sega IP.
Sega has good music, too.
That winds up on PlayStation. PlayStation? What country am I from? Winds up on PlayStation 2. The Shinobi game from PlayStation 2 is fantastic.
Yeah.
Very arcadey, which go figure because Sega specializes in arcade games.
Yeah.
It feels like a Japanese arcade game. But
it's just fun as hell.
Oh, it's so freaking fun. Shinobi's but it ends great. Up on the PlayStation 2, does not wind up on Nintendo. Sega really holds out before they give the enemy their IPs.
I'm trying to think. Like a lot of games... I mean, this is a great segue to the downfall. It's just
right?
a lot of
right.
games, once we transitioned out of the Nintendo 64, when the GameCube was released, a lot of their third parties or their other developers and publishers ended up making it for the higher powered consoles, which were the Xbox and PlayStation.
So here's what I remember about the GameCube. I remember, one, that it came out when Game Informer sales were going through the roof, so everyone was connected to all three things. They weren't just getting mm-hmm. Nintendo power anymore. Two, it came out when X-Play
Nintendo
came
power.
Out. X-Play on G4 TV.
Great
which was
show.
Originally
Adam Adam and Morgan Webb.
Adam, mm-hmm. Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb were the first real like game review, you know, see trailers, that kind of thing, stuff you ever had. And so it wasn't just, you know, what you were reading. You could now watch gameplay. They could tell you what was wrong with it really quickly. They'd give you a quick score.
Yeah.
I made a lot of my decisions based on X-Play, which I now regret because there were some games that I went back to later and I was like, this was so good. Why did I listen to them? But
at the time, you didn't know any better because
at the time,
it was so new and it was...
And they did lead me to great games. So it comes out at that time, around the time that X-Play is going on, and it has a tech demo at E3 that shows Ganon putting all four individual fingers around a sword hilt. And the first time that happened, people lost their mind.
Well, that
because
it's the first taste
because
of cinematic.
Ganon had individual digit fingers because not even the PlayStation 2 was doing that. You know,
they were
all still bricking. And eventually they get to it, but just that watching that dexterity, people were crazy for it. And then Wind Waker came out and people were pissed.
Yeah, that's not what they wanted.
That this was not what you promised us.
But they ended up getting it with, Twilight Princess was the...
Well, Twilight Princess came out when the Wii was going.
I know, but I'm saying that's what...
They ended up getting
what
they
would have been.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Nintendo fails everybody by giving them Toon Link, and then people start playing it and they realize this is
amazing.
One of the greatest Zelda games ever.
I love Wind Waker.
Wind Waker is amazing.
So, yeah, GameCube was weird. It was Christmas 2001, my dad's like, told my mother, tell Nick he has the option of the Xbox the PlayStation 2 or GameCube for Christmas.
Oh, that's one tough. Jesus.
I ended up kidding.
Do you want to shoot your dog or your cat? Like, why do you do that to a child?
Don't worry. Following the
Christmas. I need to call your parents.
Concession.
We have to have some discussions.
I ended up getting them, guys, in the following Christmas. It literally went PlayStation 2, GameCube. That was my Christmas, the following Christmases. Mm-hmm. But I opted for PlayStation 2 because I didn't own a PS1, and the backwards compatibility, which they lacked with the N64, lacked with the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. That's what sold Genesis is.
Yeah.
Granted, you needed an add-on,
but still, it was possible.
You had the so they try to answer with, oh well, we have the Super Game Boy for the Super Nintendo, which is amazing, great.
Yeah,
but puts a cool border around every game and just knows to.
Yeah,
and moving forward until you hit. No, the Wii, you could play GameCube games. So, right? Am I wrong?
Wii plays GameCube games.
So up until the Wii, they disregarded, and that pissed people off.
Oh, yeah?
So I wanted to experience the PlayStation 1. I wanted to expand my library of PS1 and PS2 games. So I was like, PlayStation 2, hands down. I did not regret my decision. I got Crash Bandicoot for PS2 that year. Twisted Metal Black. The dark one where they had like the dark in like it was rated M for the time, which was like push the boundary.
Yeah. Well, and the ESRB really
that was Genesis, and that was during the console war when Night Trap came out, which I really think we need
M
to get a
come out until a long time though. Like
what?
Rated M?
I really think we should play Night Trap one of these days.
Quake
do a Twitch episode. No, the first M rated game was Mortal Kombat.
Was it?
Yeah, that, and then again, I'm saying it. Night Trap, guys. If you heard Night Trap, Sega CD, it's audio visual.
It is Mortal Kombat. Shoot, I didn't realize that this
was Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat sparked the whole Congress.
That's right. I was not allowed to play Mortal Kombat.
Nope.
That and Night Trap. I'm saying it again. Night Trap. We need to play Night Trap. It's about sorority co-eds in a house, and there's alien demons killing each one of them, and you, and it's like. It's like Porky's. You're watching these co-eds on the Sega CD.
Oh, there's a few games like that. I mean, Leisure Suit Larry's been out since the Atari.
Fantastic
game. But Leisure Suit
I've never played a Leisure Suit
Larry. Leisure Suit Larry comes out for, I want to say, the PS2.
I remember the Game Informer magazine when they had him on the cover with that came out.
The sorority girls on either side of this.
Since we're on this topic, do you know Game Informer did a swimsuit? Edition like Sports Illustrated.
What, for Dead or Alive?
No, like video game characters in like 2D. It was kind of weird because I was going through puberty at the time and I was. Yeah, so.
Okay, back to Leisure Suit Larry.
We went from the downfall of game straight to Leisure Suit Larry.
Dead or Alive, Leisure Suit Larry, Beach Volleyball. These are games that are absolutely designed with the teenage boy in mind.
Well, that and it's Japanese culture.
Well, which is
straight, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So
because most games come out in Japan first, then get translated
to the Western.
This eventually changes, but the biggest studios and the biggest creators of video games are all Japanese.
All of them.
All through this point.
Yeah.
GameCube has one other thing going against it, aside from the fact that reviews can now shoot things down. The GameCube has a mini disc.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And everyone thought that was weird. And everyone was like, great, something I can... And people were mad that they had left the cartridge.
Yeah.
Which now they're
because
back.
Because the cartridge is way more durable. Can't scratch cartridge.
Can't hold as much memory, though.
But you're right. And that ends up being a problem. So they leave the cartridge. But they wind up on these tiny discs instead. And it doesn't feel mature.
It's a kid's console. That was purple.
It's... That being said, it is the most durable of the three.
It's portable. You carry
it.
X play through the GameCube, the Xbox, and the PS2 off of a second story. And the Xbox was destroyed in one hit. Mm-hmm. PlayStation took like two or three drops. And that GameCube fell apart. And they clicked the controller panel back sort of into place. And then turned it on.
All Nintendo consoles.
Nintendo consoles are made physically to last. Except for the Wii. The Wii's got some weird... noises going on the inside.
Yours makes some funky noise.
Mine is so loud.
So another thing that was a negative on the GameCube, because at the time PS2 was out, Xbox was out, both could play DVDs. And at the time, that's when it started really taking off.
And that's another thing, yeah.
And even to now, where with the whole Blu-ray thing,
I had a DVD player in my room with the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, and that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have a DVD player. And the thing is when does the PS2 come out?
2000.
So the idea of DVDs is around that same time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, much like the Blu-ray player with PS3.
Nintendo wasn't in that battle They were still riding the coattails of the N64 and the last, like, being being victorious after first console war. The second console war, C2, or the WW2 equivalent, is actually between Sony and Sega. Sega's still in it with the Dreamcast for about a year and a half.
Right.
So it was the PlayStation versus Dreamcast before we got the GameCube and Microsoft and jumped into the battle. And then, goodbye, Sega. Yeah. Like, it was, you're done. Yeah. Like,
my first
Dreamcast didn't last that long.
The Dreamcast.
Which is a pity because it's,
it was a cool
console. I mentioned last week, it's the greatest console that man has ever. I mean, what was South Park's? Is the Gamecast?
The Gamecast. The Gamecast,
yeah. Sega Gamecast.
The first DVDs my parents bought were Frequency and Space Cowboys. And Space Cowboys came out in 2000.
Space Cowboys. Yeah. Who was in that?
Tommy Lee Jones.
So Men in Black?
Clint Eastwood, Donald Sutherland, and James Garner, a bunch of old test pilots for NASA who are expendable, basically, so they send them to space to take care of a problem.
Yeah.
And it's partially a publicity stunt, but it's also partially like they need them because they happen to know that it's your Armageddon, but it's more realistic and they like with none of them guys. Ever got to go to space. And it's with old guys.
Yeah.
It's one of the first DVDs that we owned. The PS2 comes out right at the front end of the DVD sales.
Yeah.
And
when DVDs were huge.
DVDs really, I think, get their growth because of the PlayStation 2.
I can believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got all these great companies coming out of the woodwork. Insomniac, Naughty Dog, Rare gets on to...
Naughty Dog's been around.
Yeah, but Naughty Dog, no one goes, oh, I really like Naughty Dog as a company.
And no, they think Crash, first and foremost.
Loyalties for companies, because Naughty Dog is the company that makes Crash. Sure, that's all they made. Naughty Dog...
Jack and Daxter.
They eventually make Jack and Daxter, and then they go on into... They
didn't do Ratchet and Clank, was it?
No, Ratchet and Clank was Insomniac, and Insomniac has a ton of Naughty Dog people and vice versa, so... There's like posters for Ratchet and Clank in Jack and Daxter.
Oh, that's cool.
There's references to Jack and Daxter in Ratchet and Clank. But all of the idea of, oh, I really like this company. I really like dice games. I really like, who made Halo?
Bungie.
I like Bungie. I like Insomniac. I like Naughty Dog. I like 2K games. You know?
Oh, yeah.
RIP NFL 2K.
Oh, classic.
Madden, you dumb bastard. You taking the NFL license and crapping all over it.
That game was so good. We were playing that in arcades too, and just.
Are you thinking Blitz?
Oh, I am thinking Blitz. I mean, no, that was it too, though.
Midway was classic. R.I.P. Yeah. Midway.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't Midway make Cruisin' USA?
Yeah. Midway was the arcade company too, and then they died. They went out of business.
R.I.P. The concept of the arcade. Like, you know, what's funny is the best arcades
it's all
to go to
games
are all
now. If you think about it.
Well, Dave and Buster's has still games coming out. There's a new Jurassic Park game. There's a new Star Wars game where you like sit in a dome.
That was really badass.
It's so cool.
I don't know.
The only place to go play these games is if you're an adult.
Dave and Buster.
You can't be unaccompanied.
There's no traditional arcade. Like the mall arcades are all
arcades are falling apart.
Bowling alleys. They don't want games anymore. It's too much like electricity. Or whatever. Speaking of arcade, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I was on a ranking board for Dance Dance Revolution in Illinois during middle school.
Oh, snap.
I flocked to arcades or bowling alleys to play Dance Dance Revolution, and Konami, thank God they're still making them. I mean, granted, they're done with the console version.
Yeah, they're done with consoles pretty much entirely.
But I remember
killing my love, my favorite IPs.
Well, yeah, like what?
Castlevania.
Oh,
Silent
Hill.
Oh. That's a whole other conversation to have to explain why people are so angry at Konami still to this day.
Cool.
But let's go back and refocus real quick. The GameCube comes out. Name five games on the GameCube that you really loved.
Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Super fantastic.
Wind Waker.
Rogue Squadron.
Super Monkey Ball.
Okay.
Ooh.
Fantastic game. Animal Crossing.
That's true. Animal Crossing really
it took off. It was,
takes yeah, off because yeah. of that.
That's and right. then, I mean, I would also throw, I mean, Pikmin.
No love for Metroid Prime?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't play Metroid, Super Metroid.
No, yeah, no. I wasn't a Metroid fan. The scope of, like, my knowledge of Metroid was mostly from Smash Bros. Like,
coming back to
I knew
Metroid,
who Samus was. I knew...
Yeah, but coming back to Metroid... As at the GameCube required you to have experience with the Super Nintendo. That's
which
why
I didn't. Yeah. And I didn't.
It didn't get touched during the 64, and everyone was like, "What the heck? Where was our game?"
I didn't touch my GameCube. That I mean, I had Mario Party 4.
Mario Party.
I had Super Smash Brothers Melee. Mm-hmm. I had.
Did you play Double Dash?
No.
That's one of my favorite.
I just didn't get into it.
Within a Mario Kart game that they never brought back, this idea that, like, who you're paired up with.
I had PC. I was gaming at the time. I was playing a hell of a lot of Diablo 2. That's when the internet... So at around that time is when, like, broadband and, like, cable playing internet... Playing online. Coming out. AOL was done. Like, you actually could play online games. I was hours lost on Diablo 2.
Oh, yeah. I played... I only got up to a Super Nintendo. I never got a 64. I never got a PlayStation. Yeah. That's when I started becoming more of a PC gamer. So I was about Command & Conquer and StarCraft. The original Warcraft 3. Yeah, screw this World of Warcraft nonsense. Give me that straight up RTS.
I wish I got into World of Warcraft. I really do. But, I mean, that was when you had to pay for it. And I was in high school.
And my parents were like, hell no.
Paying for a subscription.
But bring it back, sort of, like, at this point, gaming in general is starting to...
This change.
Yeah, okay. 100%. So I just asked you to name 5 games for the GameCube, and you... carefully and slowly try to figure out some. Then we started talking about PC and you're dropping names like crazy.
And Nintendo was holding on to the past, like the traditional console gaming, people at home in living rooms. That was changing.
Oh, big time,
people were jumping on the internet. People were Counter-Strike in 98 started taking out early 2000. I'm going to Cyber Cafe. I'm not even in my living room.
Cyber
anymore.
Cafe.
So the
concept of paying for Wi-Fi at a cafe.
They didn't have internet. PS2 you could play online. Xbox had the birth of Xbox Live.
Yeah.
GameCube didn't have that. They're not living in the past. And that's why Nintendo got hit so hard is they were still catering to that mindset that we're going to get our family, sit down, play these Mario games, which honestly, outside like the core games that they developed themselves, again, no third-party support. There was nothing good here. Mm-hmm. It was a kiddie console.
Yeah.
Bye-bye Nintendo almost. Like their sales dropped significantly. They used to be up top. Now they're three biggest fans.
They all started probably between the ages of 15 and or 5 and 20, I would say. You've got 15 years. They're all growing up. They want those adult games, and there's not a lot for adults.
I'm not playing Unreal Tournament on GameCube.
I'm
not killing people on.
You're not playing Diablo 2.
I'm not playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on GameCube. Right?
Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, all of those. Yeah. You don't think you're gonna get those on a disc that's the size of a small coaster.
Not at all.
You want the one that's the size of the other coasters you're using called AOL discs. So
you got mail.
You've got mail. There's a whole movie.
Don't even get me started about AIM.
I loved AIM.
If we could go back, I'd go back. I played Diablo 2 on dial-up. Don't even get me started how that was. When my sister dialed in and ruined all my loot was when I died. Oh, dear Lord. Ashley, I hate you for that.
Thanks for listening, though.
Times they were changing and they didn't adapt, believe it or not.
And then when they tried to adapt, they did what they did with the 64. Hey, we've got this new concept out. What if you played games like this? And everybody went, where's the real controller?
Yeah.
You know? The Wii comes out and...
Years later.
They had to
Well, and that's the other thing. Nintendo stops releasing against other people.
Wii was 05.
Yeah. Wii stops releasing against other companies. Nintendo stops releasing against other companies as far as console title launches.
They're usually either a little before or a little later.
And now we're here like we're not competing against the PS3. We're just throwing this in and people, you know, maybe we'll buy it. Nobody does. You know, people freak out for Wii.
The Wii was big, but it spiked for a little bit.
When the Wii gets released, it's huge. People literally died trying to get Wiis. It's huge.
Because it's new.
It's exciting. New Nintendo, and we're moving on from GameCube because nobody owned it. We haven't had a good Nintendo since the 64. And there's a new Zelda going to come out eventually. And there's a new Mario going to come out eventually. You know, we're all excited.
And it's all motion control.
But then this motion control thing,
people off too.
People start breaking their TVs.
Do you remember the PSAs they had? Like in the beginning of like Wii Sports, it's like wear your strap or
But people start breaking their TVs and they start going after Nintendo. And it's not that it hurts Nintendo financially because they're suing them. It hurts them because people know that they're suing them.
Yeah.
People know that they're damaging their televisions and that they have to get up and physically play.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, like we were talking about this a few weeks ago. With our buddy Dave, you know, the Force Unleashed on the Wii is really great. So after like an hour,
it's a hell of a workout.
You're done. You've been force pushing and lightsabering everybody. You can't do this anymore.
You remember Red Steel? That was like their gimmick. That was the gimmick of the most. Like you could be a sword and like shoot.
Yeah. The Zelda, the Link.
Crossbow.
Still bad.
Yeah. You know, but we, everyone sees this and they don't see, oh my gosh, look at this innovation. They say, oh my gosh, look at this giant gimmick that Nintendo has put out.
They've been a stream of gimmicks, if you think about it down the line, after the Wii. Wii U was a complete
The Wii U, I mean, hey, I got one right there.
The Wii U
what are your takes?
Stumbled into.
I didn't check this. The Wii came out, I think we got it maybe a few months after it was released, and we got a few of the games for it. I was the one that mainly played it. My sisters played a little bit. Had some good Mario Party games. Force Unleashed was awesome. There's a Wolverine game that came out on it. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Again, exhausting. After a while, it lost its flavor. Like, the other consoles kept pushing themselves storyline-wise, just overall play-wise, graphics. And the Wii didn't push itself at all. And then everybody was like, well, what the hell is this? So Nintendo almost started like going back, well, with the virtual console on there, we can download old Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Game Boy games, all that kind of stuff. And they tried bringing themselves out of that rut with that backwards compatibility. Kind of worked and it kind of didn't. And then there was this rumor about Nintendo's making a new console. We weren't sure what it was. And it ended up being the Wii U, which was marketed weirdly.
Everyone thought the Wii U was another add-on to the Wii.
I thought the Wii U should have been what the Wii...
Is the Wii graphically was nothing compared to what the PS2 and the Xbox were doing, and that's really sad.
Which were years old.
The Xbox, my PlayStation 2 has prettier graphics on things than my Wii sometimes does.
That was the third.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah. Wii was, again, family. It was meant for entertainment experiences. And dating back to the Super Nintendo, that was what their thing was. They wanted games that you could have fun and experience. They didn't care about the hot end. They were a video game console.
They wanted everybody in the family, including grandma,
to play the Wii.
which was in the commercial, which was really weird.
The Wii took a backseat towards the end of its life cycle and became like a dumping ground for obnoxious licensed games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just dumping ground. I mean, who wants to play High School Musical, the game, and then follow up with Feet 2, the game, and then follow that up with SpongeBob and Battle of Bikini Bottom. Mm-hmm. Funny I should say that is because now that's a really hot speedrun game. People play SpongeBob for some odd reason. don't get the speedrunning community. I love them, watch them, but it was a breeding ground for I mean the library is ridiculous, like 1,000 plus games, and it's all shite.
Nintendogs and Nintendo Babies and all these
Nintendogs.
I wanted
Nintendogs.
It was cool, but it was like excessive. It was gimmicky. It was just gimmicks. It was like, oh, here's another thing for us to buy. Like, how about instead of buying 40 of your dumb lame games, I just spend the same price that I'll get for the actual good one, which is, you know, Skyward Sword or Twilight Princess or one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Princess, that being said, phenomenal. It's one of the best end game boss battles I've ever played in my entire life. The game itself is hours of entertainment. The Wii got me through a very, very tough time in my life. I had a major surgery. I was on bed rest for like 6 months. I woke up and I played Twilight Princess, played Metroid Prime because it was backwards compatible, and I played Mario because it was on the virtual console.
Oh, yeah.
And I can do all of that all while just holding one controller. Wonderful. That's a great thing, especially for a guy who literally has been eating Jell-O for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
But I also was stuck in bed and trapped. So what choice did I have?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because you asked me what my thoughts are on the Wii U now. I basically only use it for YouTube and Netflix.
And Pocket Tournament when I come over.
Pocken Tournament, yeah, that's pretty fun.
Pocken Tournament's dope.
Yeah. Pokken Tournament?
Yeah.
Did you really call it the Pocken Tournament?
There's 2Ks.
Is there 1K? It's 2Ks because of Tekken, right?
Yeah.
I hear people say Pokken Tournament.
I bet it is Pokken Tournament. I've never heard it out loud.
Yeah.
I also said Hermione for years. I realized it was Hermione, and my brain stopped transposing those.
Yeah. So it's Hearthstone, first game for the PC I had.
I got all the way to Coral, and I said, it's 5 in the morning. I'm going to bed. I don't have a memory card. I don't care.
I don't play a lot of licensed games, but damn, was that a good one.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm not the biggest Harry Potter fan.
I totally am, but we'll talk about that another time.
So, I mean, so there we are.
That's it. That's the graveyard for Nintendo.
For a while.
They're gone.
They took a backseat.
And a PS3.
Unless unless you were a diehard Nintendo fanboy, unless you ate Legend of Zelda cereal back in the 90s, you wore Super Mario shirts, you basically...
I mean, besides the handhelds, and that's... I mean, handhelds are kind of what we're keeping them going.
To be honest, while. Yeah, I mean, the 3DS is like the killer. Like Nintendo.
I have the 2DS.
I mean, you think Nintendo DS.
We should totally talk about that. Yeah. The fact is as far as major consoles, graphically, game quality, and just general community, Nintendo has lost everything by the time the Wii U is there. They have a very, very tight-knit group of people who really want it to survive. They don't have any of the power they had back then.
Became Microsoft Sony.
Wii U doesn't have a single Zelda title. It doesn't have... Does it have a Mario title?
It has a Zelda title now, Breath of the Wild.
Which was a launch for the Switch.
Yeah.
So it's falling apart, but in the meantime, while we're waiting for Nintendo to figure their crap out and give us a real controller and stop doing all this gimmicky crap and just be what they used to be, there is one thing that they did handle well. That's handheld games.
They handled handheld
games. PlayStation has never touched them.
PSP.
Yeah,
PSP was garbage.
It was big in Japan.
And I don't have one. Trevor, I still have a PSP. I need to give that back to you.
Vita was great. I sold it. Don't know why.
PSP has some great games. PS Vita has some great games. But it never
took off. As well,
it never took off.
It had better graphics than the DS when released. And that was the selling point. I needed a PSP. And I sold my DS for a PSP because it was just cooler. It was I thought the games were
so that you could play Tactics.
Tactics and Tiger Woods on the go. Like 3D.
Yeah, just go golfing, Nick. Just go golfing. You want to be on the go?
I'm damn good at Tiger Woods and Golden Tee, okay? My two, but I can't swing a club worth a damn.
Yeah. Every good game for the PSP got ported to the PS2.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So the
You want Silent Hill Origins? Oh, super cool. Just wait.
No, but you're right. Ultimately, Nintendo owned the fair share of the market in terms of handheld. Microsoft's
never even tried.
Honestly, mobile gaming is probably the only true competitor to the handhelds, but as much as mobile gaming has been on the rise, and now Nintendo joins in on it because they needed to adapt.
Right.
Has mobile gaming killed the handheld? Hell
not
no.
At all.
Hell no. Sales for the 3DS are through the roof. Kids, give my kid, my future kid, a freaking tablet. No, I want him to hold DS in their hand, like play a video game where you don't have to worry about the internet, you don't have to worry about paid to play.
I don't have to worry about microtransactions.
Stupid microtransactions.
When there's two mobile games I play on my phone really regularly. One of them is a silly Marvel game that Brian and I play, and another one.
Contest?
No.
Avengers Academy. Which is basically a Simpsons Tapped Out with Marvel characters where they just completely destroy everything you love about Miss Marvel. Different podcast. The other one is Grand Theft Auto 3. And the only reason I play it is because I don't have it on PSP. But Grand Theft Auto 3 on iPhone.
I remember when it came out for the PSP.
The only games I want to play are ones that were developed for a console first. I don't want to play a game that's been developed for iOS.
For a phone.
No.
Oh, wait. I did play Attack the Light like crazy.
I will say...
That's being ported into the
PlayStation. Well, Sega's doing the Sega Forever, which they were releasing their entire catalog on mobile, where you can play for free with ads, but it's god-awful. Like, the ads keep popping up, you barely play, or you spend $1.99 or $2.99 to get the full game unlocked. They're releasing from, like, Master System to Dreamcast, their whole catalog.
I have Sonic on.
I download all.
Every time I touch the screen, I'm like, well, now I can't see anything because I've got big thumbs.
Yeah. I hate touchscreen. I need a controller in my hand. That's why DSs are fantastic.
So Nintendo handles that. And Nintendo keeps.
Perfect. Yeah,
and they keep a lot of their IPs alive. They keep Zelda games coming out.
The Pokemon
Link Between
games,
World.
We have Pokemon coming out. Link Between Worlds. Spirit Tracks.
Yeah.
We have several games throughout the course of this while we're waiting for Nintendo to get their console versions back together.
Or similar versions of like Smash Brothers and Mario Kart. Yeah, they have their own versions for those.
Yeah, and they've got a few other really, really good ones in the meantime. The Professor Layton series and Ace Attorney.
Ace Attorney
is so good. I love Ace Attorney. Guilty. Objection. I love Ace Attorney, and it is such a just ridiculous waste of my time, but it's so funny. So they handle it, and then suddenly Nintendo gets their crap together.
They don't have a console. They let the One come out. They let PS4 come out. Let them duke it out a little bit. Extend that for about, a year and a half?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, boom. Nintendo's in the works. What's this new console? And everyone's trying to figure out.
Did they release the classic NES first?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
They released a classic NES.
But we knew there was a console coming.
Right, right. So they released the NES Classic, which is this tiny
people
little...
People go ape shit.
People lose their mind.
No one, they made five Nintendo. Copies total.
Five total. Yeah. If you own one of those copies, I hope you still hold it. And you
no, they're all owned by one guy, and he's going to sell them for $4 million.
Hate you all. I had to wait. Oh, God. I had to wait.
Yeah, you can't find them anymore. Nintendo's terrible about having... enough releases.
They always
you
know have. What? They've yeah. always quantity. Retailers hate them. Well, retailers have hated them since the NES because they control how much of their distribution. And
yeah,
there's a reason behind it. And
but then with the SNES and the NES classics are that they don't release enough after that initial push. So not that might everyone can now. Have it. Eventually, yeah. like people stop caring about it because they're like, I don't know when this is going to come back, which is not the case when the Switch comes out. But the NES Classic comes out, everyone
Switch
goes,
is releasing
Nintendo's being yeah. talked about, and then in the middle of Nintendo being talked about and actually being a conversation again,
yeah.
friggin' Nintendo Switch comes out.
Which should be the Nintendo Snap, in my opinion. Because when you snap the two, have you guys held
yes,
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when it clicks in, like, eh,
no. And Nintendo Switch, Nintendo Switch is the answer to every Nintendo fanboy and Nintendo fan period. And
except wants. The lack of library.
Like, they say, right, I wish my Nintendo had good graphics. I wish my Nintendo had a decent controller again.
It's not quite Xbox One, PS4 level, but
it's not
but
it's better. It's yeah. way so better.
Oh, significant change, yes.
And Breath of the Wild is
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Wish there was better dungeons. That's my only flaw.
Yeah, the dungeons
I beat the game, and I'm trying to get all the shrines, but it's not everlasting, in my opinion.
Like, yeah, it sucks that I have to travel like for 30 minutes before I find the next part of what should be just an additional dungeon.
Yeah.
You know, you've basically taken a dungeon and you've broken it and got it across the land. Yeah. You know what? That game, it's very Demon Souls, in that most of your storyline is going to be coming out through your own searching instead of just being exactly. force fed into you. There are cinematics to be seen. But
voice?
You don't have
there's
to.
Voice? Well, there's there was voice in Skyward. I didn't play Skyward, but I knew they did voice over in Skyward Sword.
A little bit, but it's
yeah.
You know, it's not.
Not the Panasonic. Than, excuse me, princess.
No. But Breath of the Wild comes out and it's.
Great. It's great. Sold consoles.
It's so good. And I got to tell you, like, I got to play it for a weekend. I got invited over to my buddy Trevor's house. He's like, you got to play this game. It's incredible. And I stayed at his house and I played like 18 hours of this game.
Is the Nintendo Switch, I think right now, is the highest selling console. Or at least the past couple months has been through
it's
the
been
roofs.
Really high. I don't know the exact
It's Wii
that.
Status. It is Wii status in terms of sales.
But it's Wii status in terms of sales.
But with
sales
quality.
Without a backlash. Yeah. And it isn't dropping.
Yeah.
No.
Like, they're not sold out everywhere right now, but there's only one or two systems in every store I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could get it. It's not an NES, SNES classic. You cannot not find the Switch.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's they're back on the map. They're fighting.
Yeah.
They're contending, and people want this.
Yeah, I don't.
And like you said, the
only
thing
I'm going to get the next Xbox. I'm going to get the next time I get a console, it's going to be the Switch.
I want a Switch.
By God, you should get the Switch. You want to know why? Doom is coming out this holiday.
That's right.
Doom,
that's the other thing.
Granted,
that library is going to grow.
It's going to grow.
That's what you were saying before. The only bad thing about it so far is the lack of games, the library for it. But they're slowly starting to roll out some more.
The fact that Doom's even coming out on the Switch, like modern Doom. Now I'm not talking about the like 2D like. I'm saying like Doom that you played on PC that
if
just
you
got released.
The recent Doom, you can still play classic Doom because it's in that game.
It is. Oh, I didn't know. I haven't played it yet.
Every now and again, you might find a door that looks like the old classic Doom like closeout door, and it'll go ba da ba da ba da ba da.
And if you open
open it, there's a level of the original Doom
that's
in there.
That's pretty awesome.
You can put them all together and play the original Doom within the game.
So I need to get Doom, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Should Doom I get it for the
and
Switch?
And Doom doesn't feel like Rock's Doom. It feels, or any game that's
greatest,
happened.
Speaking
Doom
of,
since
going
then.
Back to last week's episode of the Mario movie, Doom, that's probably the second greatest video game movie that's ever been outside of Resident Evil franchise.
You know those, that Mia Jovovich.
Oh, such lore is taken. Yeah. There's
she's
no lore.
She's so great. I love all of the things that she does. I love The Rock. I love John Leguizamo. In all seriousness, I actually really enjoyed Michael Fassbender's Assassin's Creed movie.
I didn't see it. We wanted to see it, but we didn't end up seeing it.
It was worth $5.
Yo, you saw it at the old theater.
No, I saw it on a Tuesday. Tuesday.
It's Sonic Tuesday.
It was a fun experience. But yeah, Doom has found its grittiness again. And so, that's the thing, is Nintendo's going to have this gritty ass game.
So do you think Nintendo's shooting themselves in the foot? Okay, now you have access to Virtual Console on 3DS.
Right.
People are asking, okay, so when in the hell are you going to bring the Virtual Console to Switch? Oh, they don't know yet. We don't know if it's going to be a full-blown Virtual Console, and then they keep talking about their internet service, which is going to be equivalent to the Xbox Live. That's what's going to happen. They finally do it. Now they're Wii channels be closed within a couple weeks. Constantly recycling. So how many versions of Mario 64 do I want to own on my 3DS, now Switch?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that's going to haunt them in the long run? Or do you think there are people who are going to be like, I'm going to buy it for every single Nintendo console that I own? Honestly, which I'll be quite honest with you, I've done.
For me, the third party... You can play your Game Boy, Super Nintendo, N64 games, or Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, and Nintendo, or whatever. Those third-party systems that will play old systems. I don't think there's one for the 64 yet that I know of.
You could. What are you talking about?
Oh, no, the consoles that mix and match everything together.
The ones that have multiple slots so that you can just go play your old
systems. Oh, Retron?
Yeah. There are ways that you can still own those old games. Honestly, I think they need to figure out a way to handle that market. If there's one thing we've learned from Netflix and things like that is when people are going out of their way to find third-party answers to their problems, the company needs to find that a better solution.
Mm-hmm. It should be... I was just telling Bryce about this earlier. I was looking at my Wii U and then my DS and just making sure that the Nintendo ID was synced up with each other. And the account was, but like I couldn't get onto it from my PC, log in through the Nintendo website. It's kind of the same thing where like, okay, have... one ID that should last me all this current system.
Everything I purchased with my Nintendo wallet on the Wii needs to be able to be played on my Switch.
On everything else.
Exactly. I wish they had that type of compatibility.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to make two separate.
And there's no reason why they shouldn't.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We know that this is happening. This is how, you know, the interconnectability of Google devices, of Mac devices, or Apple devices.
Well, now Nintendo, because you could sync your IDs, yeah.
You need to be able to do that and have all of the things movable between
the system.
The systems. And I mean, eventually I want it to be like Iron Man 2, where I can hold it up to the pointing of my screen and I can shove it forward and be on the next screen. But in the meantime, at least being able to say, I want this on that, move it, and manage those, I think is where
we'll gaming
systems have to go.
Although with the Switch, because it's a regular console and it's a handheld. So you can take it on the go. So it kind of works as both a little bit.
Yeah. I am
in that respect.
It's really the portable experience depends on if I want to play an in-depth game on the go. Mm-hmm. It's weird because I have my 3DS and there's a lot of games I have on my 3DS that I'd rather take on an airplane versus the. Not to say it's bulky. It's not bulky. It's great. It fits well and you could close it up and whatever. I just don't want to take it with me yet. The point where my 3DS would be obsolete.
Yeah.
And that would be my handheld. But I will say I played more in the handheld composite on my Switch. I played the Switch more in bed than on a TV. I beat Zelda in my bed.
You were playing it on your...
In my bed, on my Switch, I'm in the handheld. I touched that more, and I was playing majority of Breath of the Wild in handheld position versus hooking up HDMI to a TV.
See, and that's kind of one of the
Which things. Is weird.
Well, it's weird, but at the same time, you know, that differs for each person. I don't necessarily want to play... If you're going to give me the option between Silent Hill Origins on my PSP and Silent Hill Origins on my PS2, you're not. I'd rather see those big scenes happen on a big TV.
But the thing is, it's not that. It's not like, oh, it's in handheld, so the graphics are suffering. That's the great thing about Switch. You're getting the same experience you're getting this, which is on a smaller, sucks. On a... But it's pushing
it's pretty
the equivalent
big.
To the Apple, like a Apple iPad.
It's an iPad Mini.
1080 or 720. You're getting quality HD graphics.
Well, for me, what I loved about the Switch was I don't like grinding on my TV. It bugs me. When I play Assassin's Creed games, I like to do most of the legwork for managing my ships and things like that on the iOS apps that come with it. I would rather handle it there during the day so that when I'm playing the game, I don't feel like I'm wasting my time dealing with that. So if I want to go run through a couple of, you know, call them, not temples.
Shrines.
Shrines. If I want to run through a bunch of shrines, do that on handheld. When it comes time to go to Hyrule Castle, I would rather sit down and snap
it. I saw the last, yeah, I beat Ganon.
And save it to watch on a TV. You know, that's just how I am personally, but other people could care less. When I got that, it was a choice between playing it on, sorry, I'm pointing to the Wii U. When I started playing with the Wii U.
This is a podcast.
So this is a podcast.
We're doing the YouTube segment later.
I just indicated at a Wii U, and that's what I mean.
Bryce looked at his Wii U.
So Bryce looked at Brian's Wii U. When I played on the Wii U.
He wanted it.
And I had my own screen to play, and there was a different screen for what was going on the television. I'd much prefer to fight and have Brian deal with Pokken Tournament on the TV.
Pokken Tournament.
But Nintendo's back.
They're killing.
Nintendo's back. They're totally worth coming back to.
And 64 patent on the way. It's being finalized.
The 64 classic.
We don't. They deny it. They have announced, but you know we.
You know what's
they're
happening.
Not. Yeah, it's happening.
The Jet Force Gemini is what I want.
They're gonna stop. I mean, everyone's joking. Oh, the Wii U class or the Wii Classic. You're gonna get it. No, it's done. It's done after. Yeah, it's done after N64.
But N64, I think, could benefit from a few.
Oh, they'll
be
out.
There's a lot of games that never got released on the N64. I believe a Metroid game included.
Animal Crossing was supposed to be for the N64.
Oh.
It wasn't. Yeah, there's a ton of games.
Yeah.
There's like a Kirby bowling game. Wow. But they ended up going the Kirby 64 route, thank
Crystal
goodness.
Shards.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean Nintendo's killing it.
Little extra things like Kirby bowling and things like that need to be add-ons to an existing new game. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, "Well, we have this IP, let's throw them into this."
Are they going to pull Microsoft and Sony and do what they did with the Wii to Wii U with the Switch? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, because now you have the Xbox One X.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a new console. It's a hyper extended Xbox One. Sony has a PS4 Pro, right? Are we going to see that with the Switch? Is Nintendo going to pull that? And that begs to be seen. Like, are the Switch special edition, Switch niche, Switch snap?
Switch snap.
I'm telling you, come on. Come on, Reggie. It's the snap. Snacks. VR experiences have
kind of
just...
VR is a whole different podcast.
Nintendo's killing it.
Back to the virtual boy.
Okay, so let's talk about fans real quick.
Oh, fans.
What do you think the worst part about, like... what do you think people are going to encounter if they come across somebody who's too hardcore of a Nintendo fan?
Well, listen, guys. Mario's the greatest Nintendo mascot ever known to man. Now, you're gonna get somebody who loves, I mean, I hate to throw out the stereotype, Japanese culture. You're gonna have somebody who loves anime and like roots themselves in what Nintendo. I mean, they're a classic Japanese company who did playing cards and like.
They will expect you to
understand
and appreciate certain aspects of the Japanese side of the Nintendo system.
Yeah, which isn't. I mean, great. I want to go to Tokyo. I love the Japanese culture. I think that's wonderful, and it gets people interested in something outside of North America.
Yeah.
You're gonna experience that, and sometimes it's obnoxious levels, and you're gonna have the people wearing Mario hats. The people who don't touch a Sony or Microsoft because it's not Mario. Nintendo has the best platformers, best experiences overall. Just BS, because we all know I was telling you the only game I ever sat through was Bioshock Infinite. I'm not going to experience that on a Nintendo product.
No. And I used to be the only place that I experienced that, but then games like Jack and Daxter came out.
Yeah, you can.
They just killed
me. There's
no way.
Yeah. I think that. My first thought when I said that was, well, that's because I was growing up at a time when Jack was also growing up. And I think that's why a lot of us left Nintendo, because we grew up, Nintendo didn't.
Yeah.
When we got to a point where we started wanting more out of our games in different ways, Nintendo really failed to give us what we needed out of those. They didn't give us the Silent Hill, Resident Evil, Jack and Daxter, Uncharted, Halo, any of those. And they, you know, they lost Rare when Microsoft bought them. Oh, and so the second Perfect Dark came out on there, and
that's right.
Crap.
It wasn't well received.
I mean, they.
If you like it, then
they. Their
awesome.
Response was,
why.
"Oh, you guys are growing up. Okay, bye. We'll get the next the next generation of gamers."
And the thing was,
a lot of kids,
a lot of
Nintendo fanboys, a lot of preteens, and
yeah.
I mean, but again, that brings it back to their handhelds, because their handhelds have been selling great for years.
There's never been an unsuccessful Pokemon main title launch.
No.
No, I was out there for X and Y. Oh, Midnight yeah. launch. Yeah.
I didn't get the main story on Moon.
Mm. Yeah, my girlfriend beat the hell out of Sun. Nice. Literally, I was gone in Chicago. She was back here, and she played Sun while I was gone. Just killed it and like
nice. Level up. Her yeah. I confiscated a DS from a student,
and then played it.
And then I played. I was like, cool. I'm gonna try to level this guy up. And fantastic. And I did. And I came back later, and I was like, okay, what's going on here? Because I'd never played a Pokemon game before.
Yeah,
never had a handheld console.
Right.
I still think Gen 1, Gen 2 is the Pokemon experience for me.
Yeah, I have it.
Oh yeah,
I have it.
Anything
have
past Gold and Silver is yeah. trying to. You X know, and Y I was really great. I liked X and Y, but that was my jumping in. I bypassed Ruby and Sapphire, Black and White. I didn't play those. So I didn't. All these Pokemon came in. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Home Improvement. That's funny. Like, huh?
I loved Pokemon when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I could have named any of the 150. Like, I could have done an order.
All right, fuck Mary Kill.
Jeeps, Mr. Mime, and Mew.
Oh, I would take Mr. Mime to town, let me tell you.
God, no. Mr. Mime, you poor little guy.
Mime. Oh. Are you trapped in a box, or are you just happy to see me, Mr. Mime?
I watched the hell out of the Pokemon TV series.
Mm-hmm.
I got that VHS with that, like,
did you get all the theatrical cards when you went to the first movie?
I did.
I saw it enough to get them all.
Wow.
See, I didn't collect the cards.
You didn't live. I was telling him earlier, you did not live now, mm-hmm. sir.
Yeah, played Zelda. I never played Pokemon. What's the one franchise that you really feel like you missed out on?
I haven't played.
Yeah, Nintendo. Nintendo franchise.
Probably Metroid, because I just told you I haven't played anything in the Metroid. What else? I'm trying to think. What other franchise? So there's the Mario franchise. Duh. If you didn't play Mario franchise, you don't exist.
Okay, that's gatekeeping for everyone. Just so we know you exist, and we acknowledge
that's the Nintendo existence. Fanboy saying that Kirby. Yeah. Kirby franchise, I did not play the game. I didn't play Dream Land. My Superstar on Super Nintendo, thank God it's on. This is one of my favorite games. That was my first experience with Kirby.
The Kirby Dream Land on Game Boy was one of my first games that I got on there.
I remember that's why I wanted a Game Boy.
So good.
Was for Kirby's Dream Land. Yeah. So this Kirby, would you consider Earthbound being a franchise? I don't. I think it's a one game.
I never played Earthbound.
Yeah. Neither have I. So I think I missed out on that. If you count that as an I don't think it was
big enough. Yeah, that showed up in Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, and I was like, who is
this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
F-Zero, I didn't know who Captain Falcon was. Like,
oh, I see. I only played F-Zero at a friend's house. At a friend's house.
I haven't played F-Zero, so I'm excited to touch that. But yeah, I would say Metroid. So many games, and I think they're just critically acclaimed, and I totally miss out.
I guess the third one for the GameCube and the one on the Wii were both poorly received because one of them was made by Team Ninja, and he's not the guy who runs that.
Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah. He's like, why would I play other ninja games?
Yeah.
I make the best one.
I mean, like, you played the one on Xbox? It's hard.
You don't know what good ninja games are like anymore then. You didn't play Shinobi.
Okay, you guys. Yeah. Nintendo franchise you haven't touched that you want to.
Well, Pokemon. That was mine.
Don't say you touched Pokemon. I'm saying that you haven't touched it. You asked me. That you want to get into.
I feel like I missed
Pokemon,
out on.
Pokemon, he said.
Yeah, Pokemon still. Yeah.
But you knew all. How did you miss out on that? Oh, like
the
after?
Gaming-wise, though.
After. Oh, gaming.
I've never
played Pokemon except for that time I confiscated my student's game.
You haven't played Red or Blue?
I'm about to call it a Game Boy DS.
I have
Red.
I'm going to give you.
I have a copy of Red.
For virtual console?
No, for the Game Boy. And I have a Game Boy Advance.
I want homework. I want you to put in your Game Boy Advance, and I want you to play it. No, I'm not. You think I'm joking. I'm serious. Let it be known on this podcast. I'm a special guest, but whenever the hell I return next.
When it comes back, he will.
All right. I'm going to check in.
Let me say this.
Even if it's not a video game podcast.
The one thing that kept me from Final Fantasy and from Pokemon is I don't like turn-based fighting games. So here's the thing. That being said, I lived and breathed for Super Mario RPG.
Oh yeah,
but Super Mario RPG.
How have you not experienced Final Fantasy?
Timed attacks.
Yeah.
In the middle of, after I sent him to do that, I now have a hand in how powerful his attack is.
I want to hear him. Go, go.
And then,
go, Brian,
then
tell me what
I
you
played
miss?
Final Fantasy IV. 2 years ago, shout out Trevor, thank you so much. Final Fantasy IV is one of the greatest games.
No, lies. We're not going to.
Are you
going to
say six?
No, 10.
10 is good.
When they introduce, like, the full. I mean, granted, there's cinematics in 7-8. Yeah, whatever. Screw that. I'm saying, like, full blown voice acting, people, motion, the love between Yuna and Titus. I cried more so than I cried the finale of Boy Meets World. Don't even test me.
Okay, so when I played Final Fantasy IV for the first time, that was when I finally understood, like, oh, turn-based fighting, when you think about the timing of everything else that's going on in the battle, can be really, really good. But guess what? Final Fantasy has a party. Again, different than one-on-one, which is what Pokemon was. Yeah. I wasn't, and I didn't have a handheld console until I was an adult.
Okay, Brian, let's
what's
go.
It? In related news, Final Fantasy, I played one or two? No. Played one. One of
it
them
takes a
on
while
the Game
to get
Boy, I just like I didn't get it. I'm like I whatever.
And stories then, are all different.
And it's then Final different. Fantasy VII came out and everybody was obsessed with it. And I tried watching a couple friends play it, and I think I just caught it too late into the game itself. And I'm like, I don't get what the hell's going on.
Remake to have a PlayStation 1.
Yeah, I never had a PlayStation, and so if actually, and I watched a friend play it on a PC.
Yeah.
And Zelda. I think I was.
You really
was,
need to play Zelda.
Yeah, I had what did I have? The one that came out on the Wii because it came with it. I played like an hour or two into that, and I just like, again, I'm not the biggest RPG player, and I'm not the biggest.
That being said, KOTOR is his favorite game.
Yeah,
which is a great, great. I mean, that combat system was all different.
Thing. Oh yeah. But the story.
But
we keep talking about it right, almost every episode. But yeah,
Nintendo franchise, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
You,
that Nintendo, you just Nintendo exclusive. Yeah, probably Zelda. Well, even then, like I don't.
Zelda. Yeah. His name is Zelda. So your homework is Ocarina of Time, and you need to beat it, and you need to accept.
It is probably the easiest to get into if you have to go make a second.
Oh, yeah.
Old
graphics. Yeah, yeah. It's not. I mean, it still
you
looks
have a
great.
Wii, right?
Yeah.
I have Ocarina of Time Master Quest.
Still looks amazing.
I can even do that, and you can play it, and it'll be better than if you play the 64 again. Well, guys, we've clearly established that.
Fans. Nintendo fans.
We could talk about Nintendo fans forever, but to cap it off, Nintendo, I think, is really back. I think Nintendo has made a lot of strides to catch up with a lot of their own pitfalls. It's not like these things were done to them. They just lost sight of who their core audience was. And the thing is if you make a good enough game, you don't have to make it for everyone. Everyone will come to it.
Right. Oh, Breath of the Wild. And in some cases, it will sell an entire line of consoles.
Yeah. Like, basically, the Nintendo Switch could have just been called the Zelda. Breath of the Wild and game, like, playing.
Bonus game bonus console.
Bonus console.
Yeah. And people would have bought it. It was so good. It was and it was innovative, and it changed. It turned the entire series on its head in gameplay style. And I think Nintendo, with their acknowledgement of where they came from, with the classic systems, mm-hmm. with the moving forward with bringing on franchises that really refused to do work with their crappy interface, they were hard to program for.
Yeah.
On top of everything else, the Wii is not just crappy graphics, but it's actually hard to make a game for the Wii. Mm. People stop doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the same problem that Mac kind of has. Macs have. what the heck ever. We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
The question we have to ask. Mary Kill. Sony.
Which console?
Nintendo. Microsoft. Xbox. GameCube. PlayStation 2.
Okay. Microsoft dies. I'm sorry, all you PC gamers, but it'll make all of us our lives a little easier if we just don't have to worry.
God, talking about fandoms, it's another PC fan.
Yeah,
we are not even gonna deal with them.
Yeah.
Sony is willing to take some pretty crazy adventures, but they don't bring in a lot of extra toys, and I feel like that's so Sony we're gonna marry.
So and the
feel
like they oh you're gonna marry? I thought you were gonna be like okay. Great way to go out in the sun. Be like,
there's no vibration function on the PS3.
boy, guys, thank you for having me.
Oh man,
this was great.
I cannot believe how inappropriate this podcast
and last
it's not inappropriate. It's these fine. Were this is what you played in middle school. Do you, what was the paper Mash? Game? Mash. We should have done that. Mash with a
apartment games. Shack or house.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Excuse me, princess.
How many Luigi's are, or how many Mario's are there between the two of you? Well, there's Luigi Mario and Mario Mario, so three Mario's. That's my sign off. I'm done on that.
All right, plugs. What have you?
Wait. We'll switch it up a little bit. What? Because we asked what games are we playing
last week.
Right, last week, an hour ago. What games are you looking forward to?
Ooh. The only game I've really been following a lot, as far as like just getting super geared up for, actually there's two, there's the one you're going to mention, I know. Mm-hmm. And then, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts
3. Cause it's apparently finally coming out.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts 3's had a longer hiatus than any other game. Like it's basically Duke Nukem at this point. It's just,
let's just hope the release isn't the same.
Let's just hope it's not met with the same, problems, but Kingdom Hearts 3 is magic. Coming. Yeah. It looks beautiful. Some of the things that it appears
they
that been adding
they in. Overhauled it. They originally was supposed to the graphics weren't even supposed to be that good, and then they just totally decided they wanted full cinematic graphics.
Yeah, let's do
so
it.
The transition's and not wonky.
Cool. And the thing is PS4. I've been playing the.
We
Order.
Get an Xbox too.
PS4. I've been playing The Order, and that game is basically just a big tech demo. It's like 4.5 hours long. It's not a very deep game, but it is gorgeous. And I think that we're at a time where Kingdom Hearts can really be as beautiful as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you're going in all these different IPs for Disney, and there's been so many in the last several years that there's so many ways. Even if they don't get into all of their worlds. As long as they keep that summon system, I'll be perfectly content.
Brian?
Battlefront 2.
Star Wars fan. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you squeal during the course of that?
I was basically John Boyega spot.
John Boyega has this like commercial where he explains everything. It's
like a 4.5 minute trailer.
And he was like the chief complainer to EA over Twitter. He was like, what? Four worlds? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then like he's right there and he's like, there's now four times the beginning of the first. Basically, he's like, this is so much better than Battlefront 1.
What you got? I will say there's a lot of great games coming out. 2018 is going to be a fantastic year. To keep in spirit with the whole topic of the podcast, I have to go back to Nintendo. I've been waiting for Nintendo to give me that same feeling I got back in 96 when I saw Super Mario 64. Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to feel that with the trailers and everything I've seen. And I went to E3 and got to see demos for Odyssey.
Mario Odyssey.
And I want to experience that. I think once I play it, I'm going to get that open world. Because I did not play Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool concept. Sunshine was great. Super Mario Sunshine was great. But I want that this is a new console. This is a new Mario. This is like
they changed going up from a lot worlds to worlds.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's new, different. Mario's hat talks. Like, who's not excited for that? It's kind of weird.
It was cool when the Minish Cap did it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think Super Mario Odyssey is my thing. Either that or probably Kingdom Hearts 3.
Nice. So. In the Nintendo realm, I'm really excited that there's a Star Fox 2. Like, I'm really just so thrilled about that. But I'm also really excited for this remake of Metroid 2.
Because, for the DS?
Yeah. Okay. Because there was originally another Metroid remake is what this fan project was called, and they were getting really far into it, and then Nintendo just slapped him with every cease and desist they could hit and just knocked him dead. And they were like, sorry guys, we don't know why they did this, but it was like, oh, we know why they did this.
Really quickly, without going into too much detail, franchises or games that you wish came out that you're waiting for a sequel for, or just something that you wish was like
Jet Force Gemini. Yeah.
Okay.
I want a sequel.
All right.
Command & Conquer.
What was it like? They did a Red Alert 3, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it was a...
All right.
Mainly it was a PC game kind of thing, and they did put it on the console. It was an interesting port, but...
You want a full-blown...
I want another... Yeah.
I want Sega to get back in the damn console business.
Ooh.
I want Sega to randomly come to E3 next year. Boom.
We're back.
Dreamcast 2.
Yeah.
And like the world is on fire.
And here's every
and all the relationships we have with Nintendo go like literally like open up a new war. Like this is it. I mean, Atari Box is coming. Atari's coming back into the console for which.
What?
Yeah, go look it up in there. But yeah, there we go. For me, it's either the resurgence of a Sega Dream or just a Sega console or Streets of Rage 4.
Streets of Rage 4. Does it have to be the same format as Streets of Rage? That sort of
yes, thing? Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. So.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening again this week.
Yeah.
Please leave us some comments. Leave us some...
Yeah, talk to us.
Hey, why don't you tell us? I want to know. Shoot us a tweet on @SneakyGeekPod or post a picture with it. What is your absolute like love of your life from your childhood? The one that got away from you, you know, you wish you could come back to that and
Mary.
And is in your Mary list. This is a podcast and Bryce's eyes are rolling excessively right now. They might spin out of his head.
You're welcome.
Which one of those, which Nintendo game, and do you still have it, is your like one true love? So please rate us, subscribe.
Do it.
And we will see you next
week. Do it.
Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Bye.